And so let's be encouraged by the Word of God, my friends. And so you have your Bibles, and the title of tonight's message, What Am I Laboring For? What am I laboring for? And, you know, just right off the bat, you know, who's tired? Anyone tired? I'm tired. I'm exhausted. Okay, and so I get it. You know, we all can be tired. But then a question to follow up after that, why am I tired? You know, what is truly monopolizing my time, my attention, my energy? Am I laboring for spiritual things, Lord willing, or material things? And here's a pro tip. Spiritual things last forever. Material things fade. And here's a, I don't know, super pro tip. Is that the term? I came up with it. But here's a super pro tip. Spiritual things, not just do they last forever, they're also freely given. All right? So here's a tremendous emphasis in God's will. We'll turn to the book of John in a minute here. But what are we laboring for, trying so hard for something that's just going to fade away and rust, you know, and just temporal, versus what's freely given that lasts forever? And it's not so much laboring for what is spiritual as it is laboring with it. So not so much laboring for what is spiritual, God gives that to us freely, but laboring with it. So let's go to John chapter 6, John chapter 6, verse 24. And so as we're turning there, John chapter 6, verse 24, is a very powerful and very relatable passage in Scripture. Gives an example of people who are laboring. They're seeking, and by the way, they're sincerely seeking, and they're sincerely laboring. But Jesus is going to expose their motives, that they are laboring for the wrong thing, you know. And we only have one life to live on planet Earth. May I learn from the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and labor how God wants me to labor, amen. If I'm going to be exhausted, if I'm going to be weary, okay, tired, okay, may I do it for the right reasons, amen. So let's go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 24. We'll start there. John chapter 6, verse 24. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And the Word of God says in verse 24, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping, came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat off the loaves, and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Amen. Omi, let's pray. Abba, Father, what a blessing to be in thy house tonight. I thank you, Father, for just the sweet spirit and just the time of this spiritual oasis amidst the wilderness week. And so, Father, I confess, Father, I'm tired. I'm blessed, but I'm exhausted physically, Lord. But at the same time, we're just so thankful that we can be in the house of the Lord. And so, Father, we ask that even tonight, anoint these lips of clay that we hear from heaven on high, Father, that truly I would be reminded to labor for the spiritual meat, not the physical meat, Lord, and always keep my eyes on you, Father, and that it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And so, Father, thank you for your mercy, your goodness. Thank you for the folks that made it out. What a blessing they are to me. Help us to encourage one another and bless the prayer time to come. And I thank you, Father, that we can ask in faith according to your will, and that your will is goodness. Your will is benevolent. Your will is kind. And so, Father, we are so thankful for who you are, that your mercy endures forever, because we need your mercy even now. Bless this time in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. And so I always try to put myself in the shoes of this, of whoever's involved in the passage of Scripture, whichever one I'm reading. And in this case, of course, you have people who were genuinely seeking Jesus. You know, they were sincerely seeking Jesus. They wanted to seek Jesus. In fact, they went out of their way. They kept looking for Jesus. In fact, when they first didn't know where he went, of course, he went across the sea. He walked, okay? But when they first didn't know where Jesus was, they didn't give up. It wasn't as though they kind of peeked over the hill like, well, I don't see him here. Well, let's just go home. No, I mean, they sincerely, credit where credit is due, they truly went out of their way to find Jesus. And that's commendable. Wish more people would do that. Amen, right? And so the people, they went through great lengths to track Jesus down. In fact, it's not intuitive, you know, but if you look at a map, maybe at the back of your Bible, if you Google it, okay, if you look at where they were, they ended up at Capernaum, they found him there. They were on the seashore there of the Tiberias area. And it's not overly far, but it is about 16 miles, 14 miles that they would have had to row. If they walk, it'd be even further, but about 14 miles that they would have to row to kind of catch up to Jesus, to kind of find him. And so I get it. You know, they truly, genuinely, sincerely were seeking Jesus. And so that's a wonderful thing. I mean, what else can we ask of people, right? But why were they doing that? You know, and when Jesus, in fact, the reason why Jesus explains, but just the day before, Jesus had multiplied the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. We know of that that miracle. That's wonderful. And he fed everyone. Now they wanted more. Now when they find Jesus, Jesus acknowledges their sincere labor. I mean, he gives credit where credit is due. He knows that they meant it. He knows that they labored. And he acknowledges their labor. And they had sincere labor to seek him. But Jesus also reveals their wrong motive. And so herein lies the first point. Point number one. In fact, each point has kind of a sub-point. But, you know, just play along with me. Here's point number one. The obvious truth, number one, is that we should labor for spiritual meat, not physical meat. Okay, that's what Jesus is talking about. They came for the meat, meaning food. Okay, not necessarily meat, but they did have the bread, the fishes. Okay, so they are seeking Jesus. And Jesus says, so obvious truth, number one, we should labor for spiritual meat, not physical meat. Now, the less obvious truth, number one, is that the line between laboring for spiritual versus physical meat is very, very fine. And it can be hard to discern. Okay, so this is the less obvious truth. And so I may cross that line even without realizing it, okay? It's such a fine line, it can almost be invisible. You know, people were seeking Jesus. If you look at the context, the villagers came out, they were seeking Jesus. They were even right by Jesus, right next to Jesus. I mean, that's amazing. From a distance, looks great. But they had the wrong motives. Applied today. People can be in church. They can even be in church regularly. But the line between seeking physical meat and spiritual meat is so fine. They sought Jesus not for spiritual nourishment, but for physical nourishment. Okay, and that's the sad part. Now, this is huge, because doesn't the Bible say, well, I do need food to live. Otherwise, if you just starve, so I do need food to live. And the Bible does say, if you don't work, you don't. Help me out, church. You don't eat, right? So you don't work, you don't eat. I mean, we know that. But here's the application. Yes, we do work. But even when we go to work, don't labor for the paycheck. Labor to glorify God. Even when we are on the clock. The paycheck is the blessing. But glorifying God is the mission. It's the purpose. And the idea, again, it's a very fine line. Remember, the people were showing up, they were by Jesus, but they had the wrong motives. You know, I can show up to work, but I can also have the wrong motive. Now, this applies really to any job scenario, and we can labor for the wrong thing. It's not a given. Just because I'm exhausted at the end of the day, just because I'm worn out at the end of the week, doesn't mean I labored for the right thing, because I can labor for the wrong thing. Again, Jesus acknowledges their labor, because they went out of their way to seek him. They could have just said, well, he's gone. Oh, well, that was a good, well, it lasted. You know, no, but they sought him. So we just because we are tired and laboring doesn't automatically mean that we're laboring for the right thing. Again, seek, number one, the spiritual meat. Just because we're running, same context, doesn't automatically mean we're running the right race. That's why it's so important to examine ourselves, Paul says, whether we be in the faith. The faith meaning the Christian faith, right? The doctrine of the Word of God, the commandments of the Word of God, every promise of the Word of God, everything about the Christian faith, right? And what does the Christian faith tell us in this context of working? Well, let's go to Colossians chapter 3, just kind of a supportive verses. But let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. So among the Christian faith, we are reminded, we are exhorted about this truth, Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse number 22 about employees, servants here. But Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, the Word of God says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters," our bosses, "according to the flesh." So this is not, you know, in a societal setting, okay? "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." I mean, this is wonderful. This is going to, doesn't matter what job you do, you go to work, we are to do it as unto, we obey our boss, I get it. But we're really doing it out of singleness of heart to please God, to fear God. "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." That's amazing. We obey God, we honor God by serving our boss. "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." This is a big aha, because the job that God gave us, God wants us to glorify Him at that job, with that job. May we seek God at work, seek Him outside of work, right? Seek Him. In fact, whatever job we might have, if you want to, kind of tongue-in-cheek, but there is some application. You can, whatever job you have, just add the word ministry at the end of it, right? And so if you're, "I work at DigiCopy," well, you got the DigiCopy ministry. That God has given you 8 hours, 40 hours a week. That is a huge ministry, right? I mean, when you consider that, I mean, God wants to be glorified. And so it's a fine line between seeking that spiritual need and that physical, material need. And so obvious truth number two, okay, it kind of goes hand in hand, but obvious truth number two is this: God's blessings are amazing, right? That's pretty no-brainer. Obvious truth number two, God's blessings are amazing. If you want to think to our application in John 6, it's the fish and the loaves. Yeah, His blessings are wonderful, of course. But less obvious truth number two is this: we can mishandle God's blessings if we're not careful. We can mishandle it. What does that mean? Well, Jesus' miracle, if you think of the context of even what He came to do, the works, the miracles that He did, testified of Him as the Messiah. So Jesus' miracles were indeed to call people to Him to show that He is the Messiah. But people ended up wanting the blessings of God more than the person of God. And my friends, if we are not careful, God's blessings, as wonderful as they are, can distract us from the person of God. And so the story goes, Dad comes home from work, and the kids are there, and like, Daddy's home, and they rush him, and they know the story here. They rush him, and they're hugging his legs, and Dad is just so happy to be home, and say, Daddy's home, and they tackle him, they wrestle Dad on the ground, and they overwhelm him with such love. And so Dad is so happy, he's like, I'm going to really bless my kids. I'll get them a big screen TV, okay? I'll get them a big screen TV. I'm so happy. They love me so much. I'll bless them with this TV. And so he gets them a TV, and then some time passes. And then one day, Dad comes home, opens the door, and it's all silence. Like, well, where is everyone? And then he kind of walks around a bit, finds them in the living room like this, glued to the TV. Didn't care that Dad came home. In fact, just totally tuned out and just asphyxiated to the TV. In fact, when the dad kind of walks in front and says, "Hey, boys, kids, I'm home," what do they say? "Dad, get out of the way, you're blocking the TV." all of a sudden, what Dad intended, in fact, Dad's going to say, "Well, enough of that," takes the TV away. And all of a sudden, what Dad intended for a blessing to his children has become a distraction for their love to him. And my friends, our jobs, our livelihood, don't let them turn into a distraction. God gave it to us as a blessing. Amen. But don't let that turn into that TV that distracts us from our Heavenly Father. He wants to be preeminent in our lives. Same goes for our home, right? I mean, God blesses you with a home. Well, praise God. But how much time do I spend laboring for my home versus for God, right? Food for thought, car, the list goes on, blessings that God given us, children. Children are a blessing from God, no doubt about it. Amen. But my friends, don't ever put anything or anyone ahead of God. Which leads me to point number three. Obvious truth number three, we need to pray to God. That's pretty obvious, right? We need to pray to God. Give us this day our daily bread, right? Lord's Prayer. Now, the less obvious truth number three is this. We need to pray for God. Thy kingdom come. And so we need to pray. Yes, no doubt about it. We need to pray to God. That's obvious. But the hidden truth, which defines the fine line between seeking and laboring for spiritual meat versus physical meat, is we also need to pray for God. The idea is this, do I just want God's blessing? Is God just that ATM machine? You know, is God? Do I want God's blessings more than God himself? If we pray for God, guess what? I will get him, his Holy Spirit, every single time. God wants to give himself to us. Here's a good application. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I tried to steer this in the capacity of laboring, you know, workforce, vocational. But let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Wonderful reminder here. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. And the Word of God says, "Now thanks be to God, be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ," hallelujah, "and because of that victory in Jesus, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by who? Us. Where? In every place." Of course, in church, that's a blessing. Home, that's a blessing. But our place of employment, where we spend a huge chunk of our lives at work, in our place of work, it's God's desire, no matter where we go, no matter where we are, where we're stationed, where we're sent, that God uses us to manifest, that means to make real, to reveal the savor of his knowledge. That no matter where we go, people know, oh, that person is a Christian. There's something different about this person, you know, and I don't know much about God, but I know this person knows about God, and God is real in his life. And so that is God's desire, that no matter where we go, we will manifest and make real his savor. And the idea of savor, it's, you know, that's the scent, that's the fragrance. To those that love God, it will bless them. Those that hate God, oh, they don't like that, okay? But the idea is, regardless, we will manifest his savor. Now, when God's savor comes out from us, okay? If you want to think of it from that standpoint, like, you know, many times I've walked home, come into the garage, and the first thing that hits you is, oh, it smells great. You know, freshly baked cookies, you know, something, some stew that's bubbling on the stove, and you're hit with that aroma, that savor, like, oh, wow, oh, that's wonderful, right? And so when God desires to manifest our savor where we are, if we want a lot of it, pray. He will give you a lot of it. I don't want it to just come out like a little, you know, oh, I barely smelled that. Okay. I want it to be known, to be seen, to be obvious. I want to have a lot of God. I want to have a lot of God. And my friends, if we desire to have a lot of God, he will give you a lot of himself. And when we seek and labor for spiritual meat, not the physical meat, that is the blessing. Amen. Let's go to Isaiah 55. We're going to wrap it up there. Isaiah 55, here's an Old Testament reference, but true, the same principle of God. Isaiah 55, and in verse 1, Isaiah 55 and verse 1, and what an invitation through Jesus Christ, by God's grace, when God freely gives the best, why do I labor so hard, spinning my wheel, and again, just because we labor, I could be exhausted running this race, but if I'm on a hamster wheel, I'm not going very far. But look at this, verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsts. By the way, that word ho, that's wonderful. God's trying to get our attention. Hey, we would say hey, he says ho. Okay, ho, everyone that thirsteth. Do you thirst? I do thirst. I want the spiritual water, right? Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy. And the only way we can buy when we have no money is when the price tag is zero. Not just, what is that? Not just a family dollar. No, not family dollar. We still want Dollar Tree. Not just Dollar Tree. This is the zero dollar. Everything is $0 here. It doesn't matter. You got no money. You can buy it all because this is what God is giving by grace. It's free. We don't have to be laboring to earn to get this. God gives it for free. The best things are free. And so buy and eat. This is those that have no money. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore, and this goes back to John 6, wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? Okay, not wholesome, not what's nourishing, right? For, in this context here, for physical bread, physical meat. Don't do that. Focus on glorifying God. And your labor for that which satisfieth not. And so as we ask ourselves, yeah, I'm tired. What are we laboring for? Jesus reminds us, labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life, that God gives. Amen. He gives it. Amen. And again, so because he gives it, it's not so much laboring for it, but laboring with it. He gives it to us. Run with it. Amen. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. And let your soul delight itself in fatness. Obvious truth number one, we should labor for spiritual meat, not physical meat. That's a given. Now, the less obvious truth number one is the line between laboring for spiritual meat and physical meat is very, very fine, very thin. Can be hard to discern. Obvious truth number two, God's blessings are amazing. Amen. But the less obvious truth number two, we can mishandle God's blessing if we're not careful. In fact, I can even abuse it. And then God takes it away. And then obvious truth number three, we need to pray to God. But the less obvious truth number three, we also need to pray for God. Let's bow heads in prayer. Abba, Father, what a blessing to be in thy house, Father. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your goodness, Father, that your blessings are bountiful. But even beyond that, Father, may we always have you first to seek and labor for the spiritual meat. We are thankful for the physical meat that you provide. That's a blessing. But our mission, our goal is to always glorify you and to pursue that which is spiritual. May we get exhausted pursuing that which is spiritual. And then you recharge us. And as we rest in you, you build us back up, Father. And so what an encouragement, Lord. Help me to make sure I recalibrate, realign, Lord. Help me to always stay focused on you. And we thank you for your goodness to us, Father. And we do pray to you tonight. But may we also pray for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, friends.